Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL,
as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions.
The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Let's get the show started. Here are Marco Coleman and Culpepper.
This portion of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic. All right, Marco's money player. You've got some guys to choose from. Yeah. We've had some games that's been tough, but you've got some guys to choose from today.
I do, but I got to go with the young man that we've been waiting to have an outstanding game that we knew it was in him, and that's Mr. Blackman. The 236 yards, you know, it was phenomenal. And the way that he got it, this was yards after the catch, what we saw in college, you know, catching the ball and being able to do something after he caught it. And, hey, I talked about the lack of speed, and here these guys go, him and Shorts, leaving guys in the secondary making some big plays. But Blackman is my big-time money player this week.
81-yard touchdown catch is the second longest touchdown catch in Jaguars history and ekes out the longest this year, just getting past Cecil Shorts' winning touchdown. It was 80 yards, yeah. So 1 yard longer in that. And he had a couple of long ones. And for a guy who, you know, is not a breakaway speed guy,
he
did some breaking away today.
The one that went, I think was the last one that he had was for the 80, I believe. When he got hit, three guys, mm-hmm. You know, he broke three tackles basically in one. None of them could bring him down. You saw the strength of the player. I mean, that's what you've been looking to see, and you knew already that was inside of Blackman. It's great to see him, you know, actually have that type of game we've been expecting.
And when you talk about yards per catch in a game, nobody's ever had a game like this in Jaguars history. 33.7 yards per catch in Jaguars history. I think Jimmy Smith's game at Baltimore, which was the 291-yard game, mm-hmm. Certainly is the only yards. One that has most yards, but in terms of yards per catch, Blackman had the biggest game.
He did. That's the best. That tops the history of Jags.
All right, injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. The big injury question is going to be about the quarterback and how it affects things going forward. And I have two thoughts on that. Number one, Blaine Gabbert, strange injury. You get an elbow, maybe it's a nerve thing, and you just can't grip the ball. He went from being probable to return, then Henny played pretty well, and he went to questionable to return. Then Henny scored another couple of touchdowns, and he goes to doubtful to return. So, one of those things to kind of focus on. And, the other thing I'll point out as well, this is not an easy decision. People say, well, Henny played well, play him. But it's not necessarily an easy decision. If Gabbert's healthy, in terms of the near-term future of the team, talking about the rest of this year and into next year, if you're just trying to win games, I think Henny is obviously the guy right now. But again, you have to balance that, and it's all about decision making and evaluation with this. The injury, for whatever it is, gives you that out, at least for the time being, that you can always say, well, we'll go back to Gabbert later if Henny doesn't perform. But what I think you don't want to do is wind up going, you know, who has the hot hand today and going with that. That two-quarterback system you see occasionally run in college doesn't work in the NFL.
No, it's not going to work. And, you know, I kind of jumped the gun by just saying, just throw Henny in there earlier. You know, it's just one game. You know, Henny was in Miami, and he had some good games, but there's a reason why they let him go. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, his consistency is what's in question. Great game today. Let's see if he can actually, you know, if he has the opportunity next week, can he follow that up? That's going to be the question.
You want to see it week after week after week. All right, we'll take some calls here in just a moment. You can also join the program via Twitter if you want to tweet to me, at Culpepper. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. More of the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show, including your calls, right after this timeout, here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Culpepper, Marco Coleman here. Try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs, only $10.99 to get a heap and helping of barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs, plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread, only for $10.99. Sonny's the first name in barbecue. And a reminder here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show to get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during truck month at your local Southern Ford dealers. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Marco, what do you say? Take some calls here?
Let's go.
All right, we start with David in Orange Park, who leads us off here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. David, how you doing?
Cool, Marco. How are you guys tonight?
Doing all right.
Pretty good, Dave.
You know what? That was a heck of a loss, but you know what? It was great to finally be back in the game and be able to get out there and even sitting there glued to the TV and have something to cheer for. That was awesome.
It's a lot. You know, you're right. It's a lot better to have the ups and downs and the emotional and the going down to the wire and into overtime than some of the, you know, the home games where, you know, it's all over but the crying by halftime.
Right, and I've been there for those too.
Yeah.
I don't want to take up a lot of your airtime. I know you got a lot of other callers. I just wanted to say, you know, this is the first time that I believe that we have been able to compare apples to apples with Gabbert and Henny. And I know what Marcus said earlier that you know he's not consistent. He's got a history of not being consistent. But I've also heard every excuse in the book for the reason why Gabbert can't complete passes and can't do this, can't do that. But you know, today he had the same receivers out there that Gabbert's had the last several weeks. He had the same offensive line protecting him out there that Gabbert's had the last several weeks, and Henny was able to get it done. We didn't bring home a W, but you know, he was able to get it done, and I hope Malarkey sees that. I'm not a Gabbert fan. That's been no secret with all of my friends, but I've tried to give him a chance. You know, I hope Henny does better, because I truly believe in my heart that if he gets the same prep time and the same amount of playing time, I hope that and I think that Henny is going to be our guy going forward. I think if Henny had been our guy up to this point, that we, you know, maybe we wouldn't be setting the world on fire, because I know that it's a team effort, not one guy. But I really think that, you know, we wouldn't be 1-9. You know, we might be in a position where we're, you know, 4-5.
Yeah, David, one of the things I would disagree with you on a little bit is that this is the second time we've been able to compare apples to apples. You remember the Oakland game when Gabbert went out with the shoulder injury, and Gabbert was looking very good to that point, then Henny looked terrible. Well, now you've got Gabbert going out early, and he, too early for a sample size. He was 2 of 2 passing, and then Henny looks terrific. And so I think that's part of what Marco was saying, is that, you know, consistent, it's all about the consistency of it. It's not as if, you know, this was the only time the offense has looked good. Offense looked good against Green Bay. Offense looked good in the first quarter and a half with Gabbert against Oakland. So this is sort of the puzzling thing, and this is where people make the big bucks, making the decision on who do you go with. Because ultimately, one of the things you don't want to do, Marco, is make a decision on a guy and say, all right, he's our guy, we're going with him, and then he plateaus out and doesn't get any better, and he's only, you know, mediocre when you make that decision. That's a tough place to be in, and there have been a number of franchises around the National Football League that have had that happen to them. I mean, look at Kansas City. They go with Matt Castle, and he's just been average. He's just been okay.
Well, I think it's a good situation in the sense that now both guys know that it's some competition out there, so you got to be on top of your game. So you're going to get the best effort from each quarterback every time they go out, because they know the guy that's right behind me all of a sudden, hey, if I'm not getting it done, they're going to put him in. And then for a coaching and a personnel standpoint, hey, you got two fairly decent quarterbacks. So now one goes down, you feel like you feel really confident in being able to still do the same, keep your offense going in the same manner with whichever guy that's in there. That's the beauty of the situation.
If you could have, again, it's kind of Mike Malarkey this week did cut-ups of offense and defense and special teams to kind of put like an 80-play little story together for the team. He said he ran out of time in the meeting showing him all these good plays back to back to back. You wanted to put them together like that. If you could take the best of Gabbert, the best of Henny, what have you, and splice it all together and have four quarters, hey, yeah, you'd be a pretty darn good team, because but that's what separates, you know, the also-rans from the teams that get it done, is being able to do the same thing over, do the best, you play at your best
high level
more often than not.
Week in, week out,
quarter in and quarter out, game in and game out, what have you.
Yep, and that's the thing, that they, between the two quarterbacks, you don't get that. You know, you've seen Blaine have outstanding first halves and come out in the second half, like, where did this guy go? And the same thing with Henry. Henry is just his history. You know, in Miami, he had an opportunity to be the starting quarterback, but then, you know, his inconsistency put him in this situation.
Now, that doesn't mean he's always going to be an inconsistent
quarterback. He's a young quarterback, just like Blaine is, for the most part. I mean, given an opportunity to change the scenery, you never know. That's what I'm saying. If he gets an opportunity to come back again next week, then I think then you have an opportunity to kind of legitimately talk about that, see a little consistency.
And again, the storyline, we've talked about Gabbert, but really the storyline truly is figure out if you've got your quarterback for the future going forward for next year, right? That's one of the big, maybe the big storyline for the rest of this season. figure out if you've got that guy under center.
You figure that's
whoever it is.
Right. You figure the rest of the season is just about evaluation at this point. You know, you're not playing for anything other than what do we have to build on going into the next season that's going to be able to get us into the playoffs. Next season being 8-8, I don't even think that's going to be accepted. You know, you got enough guys coming back. You get these guys that were injured coming back out there. You know, you're looking at who are going to be the guys that are going with the guys that are on the sideline coming back that will get us into the playoffs next year.
Yeah, something that we'll be following for sure. 800-355. Thanks for the call, David. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Ronald, who calls us from Wingate University up in North Carolina. Ronald, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, Ronald.
How y'all guys doing?
Oh, good, man.
I was going to just talk about the Jaguars offense. I think last week I was saying, like, you know, how Justin Blackmon, how he wasn't productive all season, but I felt if he had a quarterback who could, like, deliver him the ball, like, he could be, you know, fairly good as anyone else. And, like, you know, we saw flashes that day because he had over 200-something yards. It's just that, you know, with Blaine Gabbert, he gets rid of the ball too fast. And, like, I know, like, the previous call, he talked about, you know, having Henny, you know, as, you know, giving him the job now. Y'all brought up about how Gabbert, you know, had a good game against Oakland, but Henny didn't have any snaps in practice. And to me, that's not on Henny. That's just on the coach's decision of what they messed up on, because I believe if you only have two quarterbacks on the roster, both of them should be getting reps. No. I don't know what situation.
Yeah, but that's just not the way it works in the National Football League. Your starter has to get as many reps as you can to get ready for a game.
Yeah, limited time.
Yeah.
It's not like high school and college. Matter of fact, with the new CBA rules, you only got a certain amount of time that you can be out on the field.
Yeah.
Not only do you have to get that quarterback as reps, you got to do defense, you got to do special teams. So it's bunched up now.
And I want to, you know, make sure that, Ronald, I'm clear on this. I'm not advocating for either Gabbert or Henny right now long term. I would be surprised if Henny wasn't the guy next week. I mean, I expect him to be the guy next week, mm-hmm. but we'll see how it plays out. I mean, that's just one of those things that you know, the coaching staff's going to have to make a decision on. But I would think after what we saw today, you'd go with Henny next week.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering the physical state of Gabbert. So yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how, you know, because it's all about evaluation at this point. I would imagine that's all that's on Gene's now. Mine now is just evaluating who are going to be the guys to get this thing done for next season.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Ronald. Thanks for the call. And Ronald's right about one thing, though. Part of what made Justin Blackmon successful today was somebody was getting the ball to him in the right spots and hitting them. And Henny did take that extra beat, that extra heartbeat that we talk about with Gabbert. Waiting till, you know, just waiting a little long, whether the pressure's there or not. Waiting just that extra is the timing of it. And Henny has spent more time in the NFL and has that internal NFL quarterback clock. I mean, that's definitely part of what's happened there.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's a tough decision. I just had somebody here, Luis tweeted to me, don't give up on Gabbert. He hasn't reached his potential. I don't think either one of them have reached their potential. If Henny and Gabbert have both reached their potential, you're in big trouble. You got to go on and get somebody better.
You got to get some games under your belt.
But you've got to – I mean, again, this is not an easy decision. People, if you already were anti-Gabbert coming in,
mm-hmm.
it's an easy decision for you. If you are already anti-Henny coming in, it's maybe a slightly tougher decision
mm-hmm.
for you. But just being objective about this, you have to decide what how you will gauge success for the rest of the year, and it may not be wins and losses strictly. It may be a slightly less quantifiable thing, but – again, I think because of the injury and because of what Henny did today, I think you expect to see Henny. I would expect to see Henny be the quarterback next week.
I mean, he came in, he had commanded the offense. I mean, right off the. I mean, I think I ripped him. I think it was against Oakland.
Yeah.
He didn't look prepared,
yeah.
And he never got better as the game went on. But in this game in particular, I mean, he came out, hit people, strike, and I like in the red zone. You know how they went at the guys that have the automatic mismatch, and he, like I said, he stood in there and waited that split second or two in order to get the ball to guys. And I think that's the thing with Blackmon. When you're talking about a guy running across the field, it's got to be great timing, and you got to wait and have some patience. And Henny showed that today.
All right, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. We go to Carol in Riverside, who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Hi, Carol.
Good evening, gentlemen. First off, normally I'm not at my home in the afternoons. Riverside usually has something going on, and different things that you're involved in, but it's holiday season. So I thought I'd come home and turned on the radio and happened to hear the game through your eyes. There's no TV set at my home, so I have to be listening to you. And I heard your excitement when we were 34 points, and I had to turn the radio down low when we went. We're going into overtime. You didn't sound as pleased at that point. But thank you for letting me see it through your eyes. I will try to make a habit of listening to you guys in the future.
Well, I appreciate that, and I want to give credit where credit's due. You're talking about Brian Sexton, who's the play-by-play man, and his excitement and so forth. And Brian right now will be getting back to the airport, getting on a plane to come back here. But I'll pass along your kind words to Brian when he returns.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Thanks
a lot.
Have
a great week.
Thank you, Kara.
Now.
Appreciate
you too,
it. Kara. Nice. Always nice to hear a compliment, even
pleasant.
If it's not necessarily...
Very pleasant.
You know, not about me. It's about Brian. So good. We'll pass that along to Brian. All right, we'll take time out. Come back with more of your calls. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Jaguars Rewards Program, now better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like Teal Deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program. But the standard program is now open to all Jaguars fans. You get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com and click on the Jaguars Rewards logo to start earning your rewards today. More to come on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. This portion of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show brought to you by Iselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine. You could be driving a brand new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win. The carry of the day presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. What do you have, Marco, for the carry of the day?
Hey, another big play in the game, I think. The carry by Parmalee in overtime. I mean, that was a really big run. That I think was about 28 yards that he actually had there. That was a big run. I'm going to give him the carry of the day on that particular play.
Really the only long carry of the day for the Jaguars at all.
And it was in perfect timing.
Yep.
You know, kept the chains moving.
Both teams made some plays when they needed to. You know, again, Jaguars fans will say, "Yeah, Jaguars gave up plays, and they did." But both teams, there were
the
guys
Texans
making plays.
Exactly.
It wasn't, you know, just somebody kicking the ball away. It was somebody making plays.
And that's
batted
what you
balls,
have, that's
strips,
what you have to do
whatever.
To win. If you watch these, matter of fact, Monday night when you watch San Francisco and Chicago play, you're going to see big plays on both teams. You know, being made by both teams. Who makes the last big play? Is usually the one that wins the game.
Offense, defense, and special teams. Lance tweets in, special teams was terrible. I think that's being overlooked. Well, we haven't talked about it much. Coverage teams continue to have a struggle. I thought Jennings was better in terms of the kick returns today than we've seen the Jaguars show in a while. And obviously Scobie with the kickoffs and the field goals, no complaints there. Anger averaged 50 yards a punt, made the tackle, no complaints there. But they've got to shore up the coverage.
Yeah, I mean, you figure they, you know, on the kickoff returns, they had five, averaged 32 yards on a return. That's not good. Then you had two punt returns, they averaged on just two returns, 38 yards. So you had a total of like 230 yards that they got on, you know, on seven returns. That's not good. If Scobie doesn't get the touchbacks, they might have had an opportunity to break one of those. Well, they did have an opportunity. If Anger doesn't make that tackle on that punt, it's bye-bye, baby.
By the way, I didn't realize Anger was that
fast.
We're
going to have to change it from banger to wheels.
I mean, he was motoring.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go with wheels. That was my nickname in high school, on the high school baseball team, and I was not a fleet-of-foot guy. So,
your feet just look like they were moving fast. Is that what it was?
Yeah, right, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, hey, impressive track
that
down
was
by
– impressive, man.
Because that kid can run.
Yeah, he can. And Anger had – he had to run, chase him down.
Got the angle on him, and
it was it was a big play.
There we go. All right, let's take some more calls. 800-355-NFL1. By the way, I'm getting on both. And if you want to tweet to me your preference here, I'll take a little informal Twitter poll. I've got one guy saying, "Give up on Gabbert, please." The next guy who tweeted, "Gabbert needs time to learn. He's getting better. Worst timing. Worst thing they could do is to start Henny. More time is needed." If you just want to give me your choice, give me your quarterback choice for what you would do for the next game or for the rest of the year, just tweet it to me at Cole Pepper. You can weigh in that way. I'll be interested to see what the Twitterverse says as far as that's concerned. Let's go back to the phone lines. Derek is at the beach. Derek, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
All right, actually, before I get to my question, I do want to say that I think we should stick with Gabbert, but I think that Henny should play next week. Let's just make sure Gabbert gets healthy and comes back, you know, ready to go 100%, so we can have a fair evaluation,
yeah.
First off.
Yeah, because and ultimately that's what you need. You have to make sure you have,
right.
You know, the right evaluation and that you can put really both of these guys, but especially Gabbert, in the situations you want so you can evaluate to see where he's going.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But the reason I called was, It seemed today, and I don't want to take anything from Henny because he did do a great job, especially dropping some balls into some places. But it seemed like there were just better routes today, especially by Blackman, obviously. But even, you know, Mercedes Lewis had some great routes, and he's short. It just seemed like the routes were better today. Was I seeing something I shouldn't have?
No, I think.
Do you think on that?
I saw. It's tough to tell on TV rather than, you know, looking at the All-22 film, which we'll have a chance to look at later in the week. But it did look like Gabbert, Blackman, was running more with a little more precision. And one thing I'll point out as an example, they ran the same play that they did in Green Bay, that little scissors play, the little pick play in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Blackman wound up dropping the ball, but he didn't run into the guy. They actually got the pick, and he was open, and they threw it to him, and he dropped it. So that's kind of an example of what you're talking about. The other thing is, when you catch the ball, it always looks like you've run a better route. And there was one play on an out route along the sideline, not all right next to the sideline, so you don't have to worry about the 2 feet thing, but close to the sideline where Henny put the ball right on the money. Mm-hmm. I mean, a beautiful throw, right on time, right on target, and Blackman made the catch. So my feeling is you're probably right, but I don't think you can totally tell. Without looking at the All-22 and really, you know, taking a close look at it, because most of the time you don't get a chance to look at each and every route that's run.
And I think you'll have to also give some consideration to Henny taking that extra, you know, millisecond or so,
yeah,
that you don't see Blaine take, mm-hmm, to allow guys to get, right, across on those crossing routes and those other, you know, different passing routes where, you know, he rushes the ball a little bit more so than what Henny does, I would say.
Yeah, and it gives a little more time for those routes to develop.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thanks.
Absolutely.
For the call, Derek.
Lot,
appreciate it. 800-355-NFL1. By the way, so far on the Twitter poll, it's dead even, 50-50. Three Gabberts and three Hennies here in the last minute after saying that. I'll bet that's where it winds up, is about 50-50.
Yeah,
but again,
I mean,
if you want to weigh in, tweet it to me at Culpepper. Give me your thoughts on where you would go with things. And by the as I said, that two more came in, one for Henny and one for Gabbert. So let's go back to the phone lines. AC is on the north side. AC, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. How you doing?
AC.
All right. Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good. Doing good, man.
Doing well, man. I was good to see our boys. They gave a good effort today, but a couple things, three things before I go. One, I think it starts at the top. But Lockett wasn't impressive as a coach in Atlanta. He hasn't been impressive his whole time here. Do you give him another year? Maybe, maybe not. Two, Blackman, for the first time ever, looked like he was actually focused. Blackman is a solid player, but I don't think he's been focused this year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because he was close to home or he knew he had some people in the stands watching him or what. He seemed more focused this year. That was the difference. Lastly, I don't think it's difficult. I think for whatever reason, due to probably trying to be politically correct across the board, we're getting soft on these quarterbacks. Sanchez needs to sit down when he plays like trash. Gabbert needs to sit down. You know what I mean? Some things you just, we don't need more time. We don't have time. You know, football is not for long. If you don't produce, you don't hang around for long.
Well, you got all kinds of time the rest of this year. You're not going anywhere, so what's the difference, right?
Yeah, you're not going anywhere, but maybe, you know what? He hadn't learned anything playing. Maybe let's let him sit down, get a little hungry, get a little pissed off, and see where his heart is at. Because, I mean, obviously playing, he's not getting, he doesn't seem like he's getting any better. You know what I mean? And I mean, it's, you know, he didn't produce. Whoever produced gets to play. I mean, that's how you breed competition. The best play, the best teams have you know, people that second and third string teams on their team that could be starters on other teams, and we don't have that. You know what I'm saying? We have nobody to push anybody.
I don't totally. I won't disagree with you on your premise that breeding competition creates better play typically. But find me any team in the last 20 years in the National Football League that's had quarterback competition going during the year, and they've been a good team.
Well, I mean, this is not about being a good team. It's about building for next year and the years. Now, it's nothing to do with this year's a wash. You know what I'm saying? This year means nothing.
Well,
we're just trying to build for
the
next year.
From the record, it is. But I there's plenty to accomplish between now and the end of the year based on what happens on the field for the future. I mean, I think we're on the basically. I think we're on the same highway, just driving in different lanes here. But
right,
you know, again, so would you go with Gabbert? Or would you go with Henny then going forward?
I would go with Henny because I mean, from a mental standpoint, I want to see if Gabbert's tough mentally. How tough is he mentally to sit on the bench and be? And, you know what I'm saying? I want to see some fire because I personally I've seen is with I think maybe a yellow streak running down his back.
Yeah,
being scared in the pocket. Yeah, I mean, he needs to sit to get hungry.
Last year you saw that.
I think he still needs to sit and get a little hungry because, I mean, today you saw a quarterback with maybe two years more experience than him that was able to hang in the pocket, make the tough throw, take the tough shot. And, I mean, you get guys respecting that. I mean, they buy into that. They buy into Tebow's toughness. He may not be the best, you know, quarterback mechanically, but they buy into his toughness. They buy into his heart, and that's what you got to have from a leader.
Well,
yeah. I think you just veered off on a different exit after going on the Tebow side there.
Yeah.
All right, AC, well, thanks for the call.
I would start Henny. All right.
You're going AC. With Henny. All right, we'll get your vote tabulated there. Listen, you've played for a lot of years in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that from being in that locker room and talking to those guys, I don't get guys telling me that they don't think that Blaine's tough physically. You know, mental toughness, I mean, we'll see. But ultimately, it's about how you perform, isn't it? I mean, that's how you garner respect in the NFL is do you perform.
This league is all about performance. You know, you figure that's all that's being kept. We talk about stats, and more stats, whether positive or negative. And if you're not performing, then there's no – you won't have a place in this league. You can't go anyplace unless you have shown ability to perform or there's a very, very – good probability that in the future you'll be able to perform. And right now, because of this, you know, Blaine's early in his career, you know, he's going to get more opportunities. You know, and I don't think it's just going to be shut down just because Henny had a good game. You got to still look at the future and who's got a more of an upside. Who's going to give you the best chance to win? Blaine has made plays during the course of the season. Henny has come in and you're looking at just one game. He made some plays today, you know. But now, Henny hasn't played – well, he played pretty much four quarters, but he hasn't played four games. You know, so over the course of a few games, not just one game, let's see how well he does because that's the whole thing about the season is 16 games.
And let's also point this out, that Henny, when he came in the first quarter –
Blaine was
in the
two
first,
for two. He was 100%.
Blaine was fine. I mean, it's a small sample size.
Yeah.
But point being, he goes out, Henny comes in, and they start rolling, all right? So they start rolling, and then suddenly, after that 81-yard touchdown pass to Justin Blackmon, they take the lead, three plays and out. Now, Blackmon had a drop. Again, that's been an issue for this team. And then their last possession of regulation, after Schaub had found Garrett Graham to tie it up at 34, Spurlock had a drop there, too. And then on 3rd and 10, they gain 8 yards to Spurlock. And then no touchdowns in overtime, obviously. So Henny's play, it wasn't that it was all across the board. Every time he was in there, they were doing well. It obviously faded toward the end of the game. And we can go back and analyze what the reasons are for that. But your point is consistency and doing it over and over again.
Because you figure, you look at Schaub. Schaub had his peaks and valleys during the course of this game. He threw an interception. He didn't make all the right decisions all during the course of the game. But when it came down to the fourth quarter, the overtime, when he had to drive the length of the field, he was able to do it. And he's done that for the past 10, 11 weeks, not just one game. You know, and that's the whole thing, consistency. You're not just showing up for one game. You can, you know, I did like to see, like, what Henny did today. And I like the fact that now you do, you know, some competition. And it's going to breed the best out of both players that's only going to translate to having a really good quarterback in there for the team. It's going to help the team out.
By the way, we're up to 15 votes in our Gabbert Henny poll on Twitter. 7-7-1 for neither. And one guy, and I'm not counting this as a vote, one guy put me, and I'm not starting, so that's not going to happen. You can help eliminate hunger during the Jaguars' 18th annual food drive benefiting Second Harvest by bringing just one can or $1 to the Jaguars-Titans game on November 25th. You can make the difference. We're back with more of the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show. Your calls, your tweets, and your thoughts on the game. Jaguars fall 43-37 in Houston. More to come on the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. No purchase is necessary. Checking some scores from around the National Football League, the late game's going on right now. Drew Brees has 3 touchdown passes, a 1-yarder to Jimmy Graham, a 38-yarder to Lance Moore, and a 15-yarder to Moore. And the Saints are roughing up the Raiders 38-10. Boy, the Saints have really turned things around here after they've gotten some of their coaches back in there, haven't they?
And the Raiders really stink.
And there's that, too, to consider. New England leading Indianapolis 38-17. The former Buccaneer and now a steal, now Patriot defensive back, Aqib Talib, a 59-yard interception return for a touchdown for the Patriots. Julian Edelman, a 68-yard punt return for a touchdown. Edelman also has a touchdown catch from Tom Brady. Gronkowski has 2 touchdown catches. 38-17, New England leading Indianapolis. And Denver and San Diego playing in the Mile High City. Peyton Manning has thrown a touchdown pass, 2 of them, one to Denarius Thomas, and one, the third best to come out of Georgia Tech.
Yeah, right? he's working on it.
And one to Brandon Stokely. And he's also been sacked in the end zone for a safety and had threw an interception that was returned. So Peyton Manning has been involved in all but 3 points that have been involved. Was a Matt Prater field goal.
It's all about Peyton.
It's either he's getting sacked or he's throwing a touchdown or he's throwing a pick six. It's 17-9, Denver leading San Diego as they play with 7.5 minutes remaining, now under 7 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Out in Denver. Sip more, pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea is now just $1 at McDonald's. Any day, any size, any time. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Back to the phone lines. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Our man Saqib is up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Saqib, how you doing?
Saqib.
What's up, boy?
Hey, man.
You sound much better.
Oh, you sound a lot better, man. Glad to hear your great sounding voice today.
Hey, like I said to you guys, before, I almost got a heart attack for my birthday. You know, it was even worse today, dude. I mean, you know, the what frustrates me the most is how in the world we have more of our guys back from defense than we have last year. Can you explain to me, because I don't seem to understand, so why is our defense that bad and it was that good last year? Okay. I'm confused.
I'll give you 2 theories here. One is that last year, the Jaguars' offense was so anemic, and they were running the football. Fewer plays run against them offensively. Teams didn't feel like they had to be as aggressive because they didn't fear the Jaguars doing anything. So while they rushed the passer a little bit better, that's certainly the case, last year, they didn't have as much pressure against them. The other thing is certainly not having Darryl Smith in there has hurt. Not having Clint Session has hurt. So the linebacking core hasn't played as well. And some of the guys on the defensive line haven't played as well.
Let me ask you guys this question. I know this is you guys are not saying that this is a smart idea. Why not kick a field goal on that fourth down? And if he does miss it, they might get the ball and then try to return it. They're going to get the ball all the way in their back.
Well, it would have been a 64-yard field goal, something like that.
Okay, that's fine, but Josh has the leg.
You don't know that because – and here's what I'm going to tell you, get a little insight here. I think Jeff might have referred to it as well. But before the ball game, if you're listening to the tailgate show, you heard us talking about that Scobie in pregame was kicking them from 59. And so what happens is a kicker will always go to the coach and tell him, here's where I'm comfortable. I can make it from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 59 was that number. So if they had gotten another 5 yards – you might have seen that happen, but I think if he just isn't going to get it there,
One thing before I leave you guys, explain to me how Chad Henne played so good and he played so bad weeks ago when they put him in there and had no practice. Blaine Gabbert had the practice; he's practicing with all these guys, and who starts next week? I mean, Is it going to be Chad Henne? Because if it's going to be Chad Henne, I'm going to come see him. I really want to see Justin Blackman and everything, what he has done this today, man.
Again, if I was placing a bet with Marco's money, I would say it's going to be Henne next week because of his performance today and Gabbert's injury. But I don't know the extent of Gabbert's injury, and I don't know, again, how they're going to judge success in the rest of this season beyond wins and losses.
Marco.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know, I remember as a young kid watching you play and watching Yurkovich and what's his name, you know, all those Tony Bracken.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me if the Jaguars will ever have a defense like we did back in the late 90s, you know, like we did before?
They can once they get all the guys back. You know, not having Daryl Smith makes a big difference. So when you look at what you got out there, a linebacker. You have Buzz Lesney, who's a very solid, you know, really good linebacker. But then outside of him, you got Russell Allen. He's really a special teams guy, and Bosworth, and a rookie. You know, those guys aren't. You know, they don't help in the situation at all. You know, get sessions and Daryl Smith. What's that now?
I'm gonna see you guys next week. I'm gonna be there no matter what. I know we're 1-9. We're not that good, but. You know what? We have to support this franchise. I believe in Shaq Khan. I believe in the guys. I really hope that he's embarrassed like he said he is, and they're going to turn it around. I really believe that.
All right.
I know it.
Saqib, come by and say hi to us at the tailgate show before the game, all right?
I will, guys.
All right, next week.
Saqib sounds so much better, doesn't
he? Yeah. I'm glad we talked him out from the ledge.
Here's a tweet. Do you think Mularkey might be coaching for his job and really press for Henny?
Not right now.
It would be hard for me to believe that you're talking about a guy after 1 year. But, again, let me say this. We don't know what the decision-making process is going to be like for Shad Khan. Right? Because we haven't been through a situation where we learned about the tendencies in the decision-making process for things like this from Wayne Weaver after, you know, his time as the owner. We don't know yet from Shad Khan. I don't know.
But he didn't get to be a billionaire without understanding that you don't do things without gathering research.
Yes.
And I'm sure, you know, research is being done on the process of evaluating a head coach.
Yes. And again, I would say if you're asking me to predict it, and don't put Marco's money on it, don't put mine or your own. I'm guessing that Henny plays next week, and how he plays next week will determine who plays the following week. That's my guess, but we'll see. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Steven in Regency, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Steven, how you doing?
Hey, man, I'm all right.
Hey, Steve.
Look, it's pretty obvious just from looking at the limited play experience from Henny that he's just a better quarterback than Gavin. I mean, he was the number one pick, and even though he played for an awful Miami team, he's just that much farther ahead than Gabbert. I mean, he was going through the same kind of struggles that Gabbert was going through, where he didn't have a good O-line and he was getting sacked really often and looking really skittish. But he's already been through that with that other team, with Miami. So when he's coming over here, he's grown from that. He's got that experience. Gabbert just doesn't have that yet.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think that's one of the main differences between, you talk about comparing the two quarterbacks in Henny's favor is that, again, his clock is more of an NFL clock, right? His internal clock, he's willing to wait that extra beat before making the decision and delivering the pass. And Mike Mularkey's talked a lot about that as far as Gabbert is concerned this year. Getting better, but isn't where they need it to be. So ultimately the question is not today, right now, who's a better quarterback. The question is whose trajectory is going to be where you want it to be going forward, and if you still need more information from both of them, how do you handle that? If you just need more information on Gabbert, what do you do to get Gabbert?
I mean, you can say what you want. Henny, he came into the league 2008, I believe. But 2009, started 13 or 14 games, quarterback rating of 75%.
Had his best game here, by the way, against the Jaguars.
2010, started 14 or 15 games that he played in, 75% on the quarterback rating. Only played four games in 2011, 79. So, I mean, you know, you see a trend. He should be better. He's maybe for him sitting and watching has made him better, even gotten him even more hungry. But we got to see him over the course of a few games, other than just one game.
And you can't just do a "What have you done for me lately?" I mean, you've got to take use everything you've seen so far, use this game, and then also use the Oakland game. Right? He as good as he was at his best in this game. Henny was that bad against Oakland. So which do you give more credence to?
Yeah, what's better? That's what I'm saying. You got to check him out over the course of several games. And like I said, you can go back. You got 2009, 2010 to see the body of his work in the past. Now, they say, you know, history is not always an indicator of what's to come. But, hey, you got some form, something to go by, at least to look at.
You've been looking at a lot of forms, haven't you? So your past performance not indicative of future games?
Exactly.
All right. Thanks for the call, Stephen. We'll take time out, come back, and get some final thoughts on this one. You can join the conversation if you like at 800-355-NFL1. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. Six Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. And nobody gets you ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We're back with more of the Southern Four Dealers Scoreboard Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. A couple of thoughts here. Terry tweets, what if Josh missed a 64-yard field goal? The ball would have been closer to the end zone than where it ended up. No.
It would have been. They would have got the ball closer.
It would have been in Jaguars territory. That notwithstanding, if Scobie says you can't kick from 64, you don't kick it from 64. So the decision is punt or go for it. Mm-hmm. And again, what do you have to lose? We said this before the ball game and pregame. What do the Jaguars play like you have nothing to lose because you got nothing,
nothing
to lose?
Nothing at all.
I think the decision by Mularkey was the right one. They didn't make the play.
Not
that
playing
happens.
For a tie.
Yeah, I mean, again, is the tie going to make you feel any better than you do right now based on this? I don't think so. I mean, punt it down there, play some defense, you know, hope that Andre Johnson doesn't run 80 yards. By the way, they're on that same play. Andre Johnson's still running.
He's
so,
still going.
All right, let's get one more call in here before we call tonight. Let's go to Al, who's on the west side. Al, you're up here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. How you doing, Al?
Good, you guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
Always tune into the tailgate show. And you listen to you guys on the radio is awesome. I'm usually at work on Sunday, so.
Well, glad we can keep you company.
Definitely love you guys on the radio. But I wanted to talk just a second about the 1-9 record. If you think about it, really, realistically, you know, yes, through the course of this season so far, the Jags have really kind of made us shake our heads at times, you know, based on everything they've done or not done. But a 1-9 record, 3 overtime losses could have been overtime wins. Overtime can go anyway,
yeah.
Just like we saw today. So, you know, you're looking at a team that's really not that far from 4-6. A couple of the other games they lost, they were hanging tough for a while. They just didn't finish, or they fell apart a couple key points. This team could be 5-5 easily. They're not trash. They're a good team, and there's a lot of good guys. Puz Nuzzi played a heck of a game today.
Yeah, that's as good as any middle linebacker has played a game.
The radio. Yep. I mean, he was everywhere. He was doing great.
Yep.
So, my kudos off to you guys and the Jaguars. The tough seasons, whenever you've won so few games, it's one or two games in a season so far. Everybody's just, it's just a bad vibe. You know, it's hard to get past. But those guys are hanging tough, and I would expect them to win at least a few more games this year. As far as the Henny thing, he played a great game. I definitely agree with Mr. Coleman there about his past record. You know, you have to evaluate that. You can't just change quarterbacks on a whim. If Blaine Gabbert's ready to go next week, I think he should go. But love you guys, man.
All right, appreciate the call,
man.
Al. Thanks for the love. Gotta love it.
Take it light, man.
And sort of like Al's talking about, again, I'm not going to – your record is what your record is. Wins and losses are there for a reason. But – this has been such a Jekyll and Hyde season for the Jaguars in this regard. Now, I said these numbers earlier. I'll say them again for those who may be just tuning in. 5 games at home, 5 games on the road. Their home games this year, average margin 21.8 to the negative. Mm. It's more than 3 touchdowns. Road games, 5 road games, average margin 3.2 to the negative. Their road games, they've lost by 3, won by 5, lost by 3, lost by 9, lost by 6. At home, lose by 20, 17, 38, 17, and 17. Mm. I mean, it's a totally different thing. I don't have the answer for it. I know everybody will have, but I figured that they would go in today, give a good effort, and be totally outmanned and lose by a couple of touchdowns. Again, I guess we just have to say from here on out, when the Jaguars play on the road, you have to have a different filter than when they play at home. I guess that's just,
get that fixed.
Yeah, the way it is. Well, listen, keep playing that way on the road and win some of those close ones, and then at home, get it done. I want to give a special shout-out to our guest in the Jaguars Central Studios today. Kennedy Coleman.
Hanging out.
Marco's 11-year-old daughter. Bring your daughter to work day today. And she almost got the win. We thought she might have been the lucky charm for the Jaguars today. Marco, you're doing a good job with this young lady.
I appreciate it. She is outstanding.
Yep, good athlete. She was studying, doing her homework right here. Doing some advanced homework, by the way.
Yeah, moving and grooving. Teaching dad something.
Yeah. Next week, Jaguars are home to take on the Tennessee Titans. It's a 1 o'clock kick. We'll have coverage beginning at 10 a.m. with the Sonny's Real Fit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Tomorrow night, Mike Mularkey Show at 6. Tuesday, Jaguars Reporters presented by Burger King, John Osher and myself at 6 o'clock. Then Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna Live at Latitude 30 on Wednesday. For Marco Coleman, for Linda Fortunato and Ed Rocco, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening and good night from Jaguars Central.